And I believe it was that interview process that Trump, I think, convinced Kavanaugh that there was a much higher calling here. I'm sure he's had conversations with all of them about the rule of law being reinstituted, the rule of law having been destroyed for decades by the deep state. I believe that many of these people that have been controlled in the past have had their chains removed. The priority of every person in government should be the well-being of our country, our Constitution, and every American citizen. And let's face it, every day that goes by that they're not declassified, in my mind, our country is harmed.
Registration is now open for the 2018 100% free Fall Home Medicine Summit. 37 experts setting you free of drugstores and big pharma. You will learn how to create your own personal pharmacy, how to reverse diabetes naturally, and much, much more. The free Fall Home Medicine Summit starts October 15th, so register today. Click the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Dr. Dave Janda coming back to the show. He is a really amazing person. He has so many inside Washington contacts, more than pretty much anybody that I interview. And he's going to come on and talk about what's going on with, now that we're past the Kavanaugh, and even some of the deep dive on what happened behind the scenes with that. And then talk about the disclosure of these FISA documents and the investigation that really needs to come out and why it's so important for those to come out. And then we're going to talk about all the sealed indictments and what the plan is for taking these criminals down and where we're at with that. I think you'll be pleasantly hopeful on what he has to say. And then we also talk about the deep state and how they're panicked. They're completely panicked and what their weapons are. I mean, at this point, some of their last weapons are crashing the economy and, you know, different desperate attempts to take people out. So that's what we're going to talk about. But before we get into that, I want to remind you that there are some free health summits, including the Cancer Summit and some other ones, the free medicine, the Fall Home Medicine Summit and the Cancer Summit and some others that I have below for free. And then I want to tell you that Dr. Dave Janda sticks around for my patrons and we discuss more on some inside information that he doesn't talk about on YouTube and that he does for his subscribers. So he'll give you a little bit more tidbits on that. So let's get into my interview with Dr. Dave Janda. Hi, Dave. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Sarah. It's an honor to be a part of your platform again. I had a great time the first time, and I must say your appearances on my radio show, Operation Freedom, and on my subscription service video interview, Insider Insight, people went nuts. They loved you. They really, really walked away from your interviews and your information with really feeling truly empowered with the information you provided.
Good.
Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. I hope so. And that's why I like having you on so much, because you're an intelligent, rational person in a time that's full of chaos. And
so I have one favor to ask. You have to send this to me so I can show this to my wife, what you just said, and my daughters.
Oh. Well,
I'll be intelligent and rational. And then I'm going to just keep putting that on a loop and keep playing that for them. And maybe.
Well, there's
come around a little. Thank you.
There's two different lives, right? There's your personal life with your wife and your daughter. And then there's the public.
Right.
I understand that. Because my husband is one of the most rational, intelligent people I know until he starts arguing with my daughter. And I'm like, you guys are.
Well, as you know, my eldest daughter was just married last week, and the biggest fear that she had, my wife had, and our other daughter had, who was the maid of honor, was dad having a microphone and giving a talk as the dad about his daughter and new son-in-law. They were petrified.
So you would disclose something or your opinion on things.
Right. Yeah, right. So I actually presented a handbook of 183 pages that they had written of the topics I could not discuss in my speech.
Oh, that's awesome. That means you're a good dad. The more you frustrate your daughter in a good way.
As my daughters will attest to, some of my probably one of the top objectives I have in my life is to embarrass in a nice way my daughters every chance I get.
Well, okay, I can just walk into a room. Embarrass her, so I don't know how hard that is.
I'm in the state, right.
Okay, well, let's get into some serious topics. And we have to lighten it up sometimes because how serious some of this stuff is. Okay, the Kavanaugh hearings, and let's go into that a little bit because, the whole clown act of the whole hearings, we all know it was a clown act, which we can talk about a little bit, but why did Kavanaugh, what's the deal with Kavanaugh, the flip on Kavanaugh? Because we know he was tied to the Clintons and to Bush, and that he's a deep state character to a certain point. Now, what's going on there? Is he rising up to a new calling? What's going on?
So this is what I feel based on information I've been provided. I was very hesitant, actually, when Brett Kavanaugh was nominated by President Trump. I was hesitant because, as you mentioned, his ties to what Trump has characterized as the swamp. And in the swamp, there are thousands of characters, but some of the middle-level puppets in the swamp or the deep state are the Bush family and the Clinton family and the Obamas. And you can throw the Romneys in there and the McCains and the McConnells and Ryans and on and Pelosi's and Schumer's and the like. It's non-denominational, as you've always pointed out.
Yes.
It's not just Democrats or Republicans in the swamp. It's all of them. And Kavanaugh, having the pedigree that the deep state loves, Ivy League grad, law school grad from the Ivy League, teaching at an Ivy League school, and his affiliations with the Bush family, not only him, but his wife. Judge Kavanaugh Justice Kavanaugh was an integral legal player within the Bush White House. And but his wife was also an administrative assistant to George W. So they both have affiliations, obviously, with the deep state, but they also both know where some of the bodies are buried, if you will.
So is he making a higher calling?
I believe so. Here's what I thought. I think that Anthony Kennedy, who was the justice when Brett Kavanaugh clerked for him, I believe probably came to Trump, I think undoubtedly came to Trump and said, listen, I'm going to retire, but I want one of my former clerks to sit in my chair. Now, we already got Gorsuch in there. I appreciate that. But I want one of these people, and I believe Kavanaugh was one of those people. And I believe when Trump had brought Kavanaugh in, along with several others, for the interview process. And I believe it was that interview process that Trump, I think, convinced Kavanaugh that there was a much higher calling here, and that you are a product of the deep state. And I believe he's done this on a number of other occasions as well. I think he's very skilled at it, saying you are a product of the deep state, the Rothschild Rockefeller axis, what you and I spoke about last time when I was on your show, that silo of globalists. But there's something bigger and more important for the history, not just of our country, but of your children at stake. You notice Trump, whenever he's together with Kavanaugh, mentions on several occasions Kavanaugh's children. I believe that's the trigger Trump has used to convince Kavanaugh that you're going to be I'm looking for a rule of law justice. I'm looking to have a 5-4 majority, not just this conservative right-left thing. As you and I discussed, you're big on this, and it was reinforced to me back in 1988 when I went to do healthcare policy stuff for Reagan. The right-left axis is theater. It's meant to put people at each other's throats. It's meant to divide and conquer. Meanwhile, the powers that be working behind the curtain, the globalists, the deep state, if you will, work the up-down axis, up being freedom, down being oppression. Their goal is to strip as much freedom and liberty from every American, every person actually around the world, and try to oppress as many people, because as they oppress, they get more power, more control, and more financial resources. But the right-left axis is mean to divide and conquer. And so when people say, well, now there's a 5-4 conservative majority on the court, you know what? No, I truly believe Trump is looking at this is not conservative versus liberal. I believe he's looking at there are five justices I can count on, because I'm sure he's had conversations with all of them about the rule of law being reinstituted, the rule of law having been destroyed for decades by the deep state.
And you don't know the ones that are supposedly left could flip too.
Well, this is correct.
If your digestion is off and your metabolism is slow, it could be due to gluten. According to Harvard MD Dr. Alessio Fasano, we're able to completely digest every protein we put into our mouths with the exception of one, and that's gluten. Gluten is everywhere, almost all restaurant foods, salad dressing, soy sauce, and many, many more. Due to gluten, people are suffering from symptoms including joint pain, headaches, skin issues, digestive problems, weight gain, brain fog, and lowered immunity. Most people suffer from at least three of these. Also, people are getting gluten contamination on a daily basis. Some have more tolerance and experience less symptoms, while others are more sensitive and their health degrades faster. The good news is that there is an enzyme complex which specifically breaks down gluten, DDP5. Learn more about this amazing enzyme and be able to eat the foods you want and get back to a healthier you. Click the link below.
Because didn't you find it interesting when Kavanaugh was getting hammered, absolutely hammered, and it looked like he was on the ropes, who said something positive about Kavanaugh and the fact that what he was going through was inappropriate?
Yeah, the senator, Susan...
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, really? Okay.
She was at a conference, and granted, it was difficult to hear what she was saying because, unfortunately, she, I think, is not in the best of health.
Yeah.
But she didn't go on one of these tirades about, well, he's conservative and what she said was, I don't agree with the process and what it has turned into and how he's being treated. So your statement about, you know, there might be some other justices that turn is possible, because I think they're seeing the writing on the wall. And so I believe Trump essentially flipped, if you will, Kavanaugh at the interview hearing, which is why when Kavanaugh was on the ropes on this, Trump stood behind him. And the only other president I think that would have stood behind a Supreme Court nominee as Trump did behind Kavanaugh would be Ronald Reagan. I think the Bushes would have fled. I think Clinton would have fled. I think Obama would have fled if they had a nominee that was taking on the water that Kavanaugh was taking on.
Or Kennedy or some of the earlier presidents,
right,
maybe.
Right, yeah. Right. They would have stood up and said, stop. You know, I'm standing behind this person, and this person is well qualified from the judicial side, and we have to, you know. But I believe that Kavanaugh was flipped at that interview hearing in a sense that he signed on to the rule of law, reinstitution of the rule of law, restoration of the rule of law, if you will. And I believe in his confirmation hearing after he was flipped, I believe Kavanaugh was tested. And he was tested, I believe, about, are you really going to go along with this rule of law by Lindsey Graham, who is another individual who I believe was flipped by Trump months ago? Remember, Lindsey Graham was really good friends with John McCain, and they were very anti-Trump. I mean, they were in the category of never Trumpers.
So was he tested when he was asked the question about the military tribunals? Is that what
Yes.
you're getting at?
Yes. So out of the 30 minutes Lindsey Graham had at the confirmation hearing, over 5 minutes was spent on military tribunals. And I believe there were two purposes for that. One, to see if Kavanaugh was going to hold up to his end of the bargain when it comes to the rule of law. And two, it was a message sent directly at the deep state, we're coming for you. Your time is over, and we're reinstituting the rule of law. And Sarah, if you don't mind, I just have a transcript of what was asked.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
This is really, really important because the bought-off lamestream fake media will never touch this because the bought-off lamestream fake media, as we've outlined before, is a tentacle of the deep state, and they are only involved about propaganda emanating that supports the deep state, that doesn't show cracks or a takedown of the deep state. Here's Lindsey Graham. Addressing Kavanaugh. Did you know the United States is now in a state of war as authorized since September 14, 2001 under the provision of the authorization for use of military force? Kavanaugh, yes. Do you know that aside from federal and national criminal laws, the United States now operates under the law of armed conflict, also known as the law of war, tribunals? Kavanaugh, yes. Do you know that the significance of the U.S. Supreme Court Johnson versus Eisenstrager that states the U.S. Constitution does not confer a right of personal security or an immunity from military trial and punishment upon an alien enemy engaged in the hostile service of a government at war with the United States? Kavanaugh. Yes, I do. Do you know the significance of the U.S. Supreme Court Hamdi versus Rumsfeld that recognized the power of the U.S. government to detain enemy combatants, including U.S. citizens? Kavanaugh, yes. Do you know the significance of the U.S. Supreme Court decision ex parte Quirin that allowed a U.S. military tribunal to try and execute Nazi German saboteurs captured and tried on American soil? Kavanaugh, yes. You see, Sarah, that five-minute interchange, I believe, solidified in Trump's mind and in the people behind Trump supporting the restoration of the rule of law, that Kavanaugh was solid and he wasn't going to waver. I believe if he would have wavered on his answers when all this other stuff hit, I believe Trump and the people behind Trump could well have cut ties with Kavanaugh. Because he stood up here, and understand the significance of this, Sarah, I did some research. In the history of Supreme Court nominees and their confirmation hearings, I could not unearth one question ever as it relates to military tribunals.
It's a big deal.
And it's a huge deal.
And
it's
one thing, deal. One thing that you said before we got on air is that, and you said it again here, I guess, Trump, most presidents would just desert him and say, well, let's move on. And mm-hmm. most Supreme Court justices would say, this is just not worth it, right? Right. I mean, most would just, but both of them stood by the circus and kept going. Is that a sign of a larger calling?
Yes. Go back in time. One of the most outstanding legal minds in my lifetime was Robert Bork. Robert Bork didn't make it. And Robert Bork didn't get half of the stuff that was thrown at Kavanaugh.
Well, when we're at war and people realize this is a battle, there's a strength that comes up. When we know that there's children dying and there's people dying all over the place because of this deep state BS mm-hmm. that they're doing. It becomes a different battle. You have armor on that you didn't have before. And I think that's what we're seeing.
I agree. And you mentioned the magic word, children. And that's the point we made before. This is why Trump always brings up Kavanaugh's children. Look at when he did the formal ceremony in the East Room of the White House several days ago. On several occasions, he brought up his children.
Well, let's face it, they're 60, 70 years old. You're not going to live that much longer. Do you really? I mean, it's not worth it to just have power and money. It's worth it to make the world a better place for your children.
That's the way we think. But that's not the way the deep state thinks, Sarah.
Okay, now what does the deep state, they're all about themselves. They don't care about their children.
I think to say they don't care at all about their children, I don't think is accurate. I think they put a higher priority on having more power and more control, and even in some cases, probably more money than they do their own families.
They've lost sense of reality.
Yeah, you know, Sarah, I don't know if you've ever had this interaction with somebody, but there are some folks in my time dealing in Washington where would I be having a conversation with somebody and you'd look in their eyes. And usually when you look in somebody's eyes, 99.9% of the time, you get some, there's not a hollowness there. Some people call it, you see their soul. You can see emotion. You can see they're there. There are several occasions I've had in speaking with high-level folks in Washington where looking in their eyes, it's like a big, empty, dark pit.
It's crazy.
And it's frankly scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
It is scary because...
Go ahead.
As a physician, you sometimes have to take care of people that... are people that you would never want to ever meet, let alone take care of. And I've had the opportunity on several occasions to take care of some folks that were brought in with medical problems that I had to treat in the emergency room. I couldn't, just because of the oath, do no harm. I had to take care of them, although I frankly felt really bad after having taken good care of them. I felt kind of lousy about myself, because of what they do. But a couple of these folks were mass murderers.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And here's the thing that was so scary, because the look in their eyes, that hollowness, was very similar to some of these folks in Washington when I looked in their eyes. It's something you don't forget. Now, I'm not saying everybody in Washington had that dark, but there were a couple of very high level folks that had that same vacuum.
It's the psychopaths.
Yeah.
Situation, and that's the people we're trying to get out of power. Okay, so let's move to, now that Kavanaugh has been confirmed, what do your sources say is going on? There's a lot going on behind the scenes. So are they moving full blast now, or what's going on?
So there are three phases, at least, that I've been able to ascertain that are kind of almost like a domino theory. Many people, you and I, are very frustrated that we're not seeing perp walks, orange jumpsuits, handcuffs of some high-level players at this point.
Well, not when we know there's kids in cages and houses and stuff, but keep going. Yeah.
Every day that goes by, it's another day of tragedy for thousands of kids, right?
Yes.
Let alone adults. But the first step of this, the first step of the restoration of the rule of law, was to lock in federal judges. I think so far with Trump, he's appointed 46 at least federal district court judges. I believe 23 or 24 appeals federal court judges. He now has two Supreme Court justices. Before you can start to hold people accountable on the reset of the rule of law, you have to make sure you have the judges in place that are going to implement it. Otherwise, as we've seen with other judges around our country,
they're just bought off and it doesn't work. Yeah.
So the first domino was to get the 5-4 majority, because what's going to happen now is that as things start to come in play, and we're going to talk about that, what's going to happen is some people, to kind of kill the clock, to try to move this, stretch this out longer, they're going to call a, well, this is unconstitutional. We need expedited treatment in front of the Supreme Court to hear this. Well, this is why Kavanaugh was so important to have the 5-4 rule of law, not conservative or liberal, rule of law.
And when you're saying 5-4, you're not saying, are the five the conservative? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Do we know who the majority is on the Supreme Court?
I believe that the definite five are the ones that we would consider to be conservative. Now, there are many people that say, wait a minute. You got Judge Roberts, who signed off for in favor of Obamacare. He flipped his vote at the very end of the process. You cannot count on him. Well, the reason why I'm counting on him is because I believe he was flipped. I believe he was, he wasn't innocent, okay? Because anybody who flips has to have some responsibility for them flipping. I believe to protect his kids, I believe that's why he flipped his vote. I also believe that since there's a new sheriff in town with a whole new posse behind him, by that I mean Trump and his biggest backers are the military. I believe that many of these people that have been controlled in the past have had their chains removed.
Yeah, that's why I think it'll be interesting to see who really is what.
I think you see people like Lindsey Graham that have flipped. This is why all of a sudden you see Mitch McConnell hold the Senate in place for the summer. So what could they do? Get all those judges through. That's what nobody's talking about. He kept the Senate in session so he could push those judges through and get confirmed.
Yeah.
Not just the Supreme Court. I'm talking about these federal district, these appeals court judges approved.
That's what I'm talking about. Who's right. being flipped? And they might not even be flipped. They might be like suddenly, oh, good, thank God. But they're still playing their part, but they're making sure this thing goes through.
Right. And then you're seeing some players actually walk away from the table that were controlled. And I wouldn't say they're given a pass, but I believe they're not. The people that are walking away or being given the ability to resign and walk away are not the heinous people involved in pedophile networks, but were involved in either financial issues or control issues, power issues. I think they're the ones who are being allowed to resign, to I'm not running for office any longer. CEOs on Wall Street to say, okay, you're out. Now, some of the more heinous people, I believe, are being called out. Some folks in Hollywood, the Weinsteins of the world and the like. You know, because their crimes are far beyond a financial crime.
Well, and there's more that are not being called out. It's just the public probably isn't ready to even believe the narrative.
Right. So the first domino was getting a 5-4 rule of law majority in the court. Now, it doesn't mean some of the others won't flip. That doesn't mean you won't see a Breyer flip or a Ginsburg flip or a Sotomayor flip.
Yeah, see, I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think it's, like we say, if I truly believe it's not a left-right paradigm, I think it's going to be a different world. I don't think they're going to be what people think.
Right.
When we're talking about some of the high-level crimes that we're talking about.
That's correct. So the first was, let's reset the table and get rule of law judges at the district level, the appeals level, the Supreme Court level. They've done that now. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to appoint more, but for right now. The second domino is this declassification issue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay? And this is critical. And this is what has sent the, let's call them, middle-level puppets of the deep state on an absolute desperate panic tirade, because it was when Trump about 3 weeks ago said, I want certain things declassified. The FISA warrant, 20 pages of the FISA warrant on Carter Page, the first guy who was surveilled. The second being the text between Comey and McCabe. And the third being the 302 forms. The FBI fills out forms called 302 forms. When they interview somebody, he wanted them declassified and unredacted on Bruce Orr, the number four guy in the Justice Department under Obama. Those are the things that he asked to be declassified and unredacted. Now, what happened? Well, the FBI went into stall mode. The Department of Justice went into stall mode. And all of a sudden, the knives came out coming after Trump. I mean, look at some of these. You know, the day, within 12 hours of Trump making that announcement, Sarah, everybody talks about the mainstream, lamestream media likes to talk about Trump going on tweet storms. Who went on a tweet storm within 12 hours of Trump saying he was going to declassify this? Good old Hillary, right? Here's what she said. Now, in medicine, we have this term called projection, where you project on someone else what you're really guilty of. Okay? Here's what she said. Donald Trump refuses to be subject to the law. Okay, Hillary, so let's talk about subject to the rule of law. You had a personal servers, not one, singular, plural, servers in your residence, of which the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community has testified that tens of thousands of emails went directly from your server to China, which has led to the assassination of at least 18 intelligence operatives in China of ours on the ground that were assassinated.
It's mind-blowing. The amount of crimes that she's had.
And I'm leaving out Whitewater and Travelgate and all that stuff.
The cat, you know, her charity.
So I'm just talking about the ramifications of her illegality, classified information, top secret information, being transferred across those servers. There are individuals who didn't have tens of thousands of emails, had one document.
Exactly.
That are in prison.
That's the tragedy. She's above the law.
Right.
It's very clear.
Right. So when she speaks about Donald Trump refuses to be subject to the rule of law, to the law, what? Okay, yeah. She goes on though. Projection. This is a case study in projection, okay? Then she goes on. The legitimacy of our elections is in doubt. Okay, Hillary, tell every Bernie Sanders supporter about the legitimacy of elections, how you cheated Bernie Sanders out of the nomination. Tell us more, Hillary. Okay, she goes on. The president is waging war on the truth. This is the person who funded and her campaign funded, along with the DNC, the fake Russian dossier that was handed to the head counsel, the lead attorney for the FBI, James Baker. He has testified to that last week in a congressional hearing. Okay. But it's Trump waging the war on truth, not Hillary, who, along with her team, funded and created a fake document that was used to try to bring down a sitting president of the United States. She goes on. The administration is undermining the national unity that makes democracy possible. Okay, national unity. This from the person who described every person who didn't vote for her or would vote for her as a deplorable. Oh, there's a lot of national unity there. Oh, she goes on. And then there's the breathtaking corruption. Okay, Hillary. Okay, let's talk corruption. Uranium One. $145 million went into the Clinton Foundation while you were Secretary of State, and 20% of the rights of the uranium supply went to Russia in the process. And that's just one.
Oh, there's a pile of corruption. The Haiti, her charities, it goes on.
Oh,
And
oh, yeah.
On.
I mean, let's not bring up Laura Silsby and the human trafficking that was occurring in Haiti with the support of the Clinton Foundation. And when Silsby got caught with 33 kids at the border, what happened? Who flew down there? Good old Billy Clinton, right? To make sure that she got the heck out of Dodge and out of jail. Yeah, I know.
It goes on and on. Yeah, so that's why there's that walk away movement, and that's why so many people are starting. So why do they have a tactic that's so obviously flawed? I mean,
it's always worked in the past, Sarah. Think about it. Every time they have been called on the carpet, they just start denigrating the opposition. And understand something. Up until this point in time, they've held all the control files, right? The Clintons are smart. They're not dumb. They're devious. They're sinister. But their power base, and it all comes down to anybody in Washington. It's all about leverage, right? The way things get done is leverage. Who has more leverage whoever has more leverage wins?
Well, I would think the rats are jumping off of her ship real fast.
Okay.
I don't, if they had a brain, the rats would be leaving her ship really fast.
Well, and this is what I think has got her petrified, because I think they are. See, just look at what she said a couple days ago. This Martin Armstrong, who's a financial guy, but this is on Zero Hedge. When Hillary said, "We crossed the line," Martin Armstrong lashes out at Hillary advocating violence against Democrats unless they win. Quote, "Hillary is effectively advocating the destruction of the United States. She has simply stated bluntly that democracy will no longer be tolerated unless the Democrats win and then subjugate the opposition. She says the civility can only return when the Democrats take back the government. Clearly, this is throwing down the gauntlet that it shall be their way or no way. This is the end of democracy, for what she is saying is to be none." The point is that when she makes these kind of statements, or you have Eric Holder, you know, the Fast and Furious frame of running guns to Mexican drug lords that were then used to kill U.S. border agent, right? He comes out the other day and goes, quote, you know, "When they go low, we kick them," end quote. Okay, these are inflammatory statements, but they're not coming from people that feel as though they have control or that they're in power. These are coming from people that are desperate and panicked. You see, the Hillary Clintons of the world, the Eric Holders of the world, are great at playing offense. Because that's all they played their whole careers, because they've been in the pockets of the deep state the whole way through. What they don't know how to do is play defense. And these are the ramifications. They are lashing out like this because they only know how to play offense. They don't know how to play defense because they've never had to play defense, and they're panicked and they're desperate. And every day that goes on, Sarah, they're making more and more mistakes and digging themselves a deeper hole. And the reason is because people like you, occasionally people like me, are out there, are pointing this out on a regular basis. And let's face it, there are many people that have listened to you, listened to me, listened to a number of people in the alternative media and say, "Oh, that's way out there." And now all the things that we have been saying over time are all happening. And these same people that jettisoned us off is saying, "I'm not going to listen to that. That's conspiracy theory," are saying, "Well, wait a minute. Maybe this is actually not conspiracy theory, but this is in fact conspiracy fact."
Exactly. So when do you think, besides all this desperate theater, which we're clearly seeing, mm-hmm. when do you think we'll start to see people being taken down? Are we going to need to see things being disclosed first before? I mean, is that the next step?
And that's why they're so panicked about the declassification, because as I understand it, when, first of all, the FISA warrants, when the FISA warrants are declassified, I believe it's going to show a number of things. I believe it's going to show the corruption of the former Obama administration and how they illegally used fake documents to get surveillance warrants on individuals in a competing campaign. Knowingly used fake documents. That is an illegal act. Now, I also believe it's going to come out when these FISA warrants are disclosed that the initial warrant against Carter Page was not signed off by the FISA court. I believe what happened is Loretta Lynch, then Attorney General for Barack Obama, on an emergency basis, which is legal, I believe she knowingly used a fake document, the fake Russian dossier that she knew was illegal, and she used it and claimed an emergency act to surveil Carter Page. Now, a week later, they then presented that same information to a judge in the FISA court who rubber stamped it because they said, hey, this is a legit document. You would think that judge, because we shouldn't just exonerate that judge should have looked into that document further, right? So it's not just that the judge was a patsy. The judge, unfortunately, went along with, I'll re-up this warrant for surveillance. The judge should have been more analytical and asked for more documentation and information before she, because that judge could have said, okay, it's done. I'm not reauthorizing this.
The judge trusted that they're bringing legal documents and they weren't.
And you don't know what other information they had on the judge, right? It goes back to leverage. So maybe the judge said, maybe the judge said, I need more information before I can approve this. This one document. Well, you know, Judge, you know, remember 5 years ago when you did this or that? You know, if that came out, you know, your family wouldn't be very happy about that. Or some people might see what you did 5 years ago as, well, breaking the law. You see, we don't know what actually transpired at that point. If that judge put some opposition up. My guess is there were control mechanisms in place because that's the reason why they took it to that particular judge that they could have implemented to make sure that they got the warrant continued. But that still doesn't mean that judge should have let that happen. The judge did. Okay. So, but number one, the first warrant, I believe, was signed off by Loretta Lynch on an emergency basis. And then the second warrant essentially was rubber stamped by the judge after a week. So that I think that's one of the reasons why they're worried about the declassification unredactions and the fact that it was based on a fraudulent document, solely on a fraudulent document. The reason why they're upset about the declassification, I believe, of the Comey McCabe emails is because I believe texts where I believe these texts will indicate that there was a premeditated effort to remove a sitting president of the United States that really was seditious and treasonous. And I believe those texts could well indicate higher people up in the food chain that were knowledgeable about the process. And by that, I mean going all the way into the Oval Office during the Obama administration.